Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
Let's light it. Welcome to Nightlight. This is a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight. Got such a fun show here tonight. Great to have you with me. Thanks for being here. Gather the whole family around the radio if you can. Let's make this an old-timey show. And we'll try to entertain you to the best of our ability. Got some fun stuff on the show tonight. Comedian, musical comedian Rob Perivonian joins me at 7:35 over the stream from New York City. I met Rob years ago doing stand-up comedy. Always been a fan. Very excited to have him on the show. He writes very, very funny song parodies. And he's just a funny guy. And then Mike Clemens joins us in hour number two. Got a lot to ask Mike. Conrad, we have not talked to Mike in probably a month.
Yeah. We need to learn some more about sports with Mike tonight.
We do, and we will. It's Mike Clemens Sports joining the show. I think that's his. He's a hyphenated last name. It's Clemens hyphen Sports. It's a pretty cool last name.
That's awesome.
Mike had some family issues and took some time off, and we wished him the best. And now we're glad he's back because he is just a blast to talk to. And I always... Mike is great, too, because he'll just start talking about TV and he'll go off on some documentary he saw. So we get a little sports and we get a little showbiz with Mike. So we'll see what he has on his agenda tonight. But Rob and Mike are two great guests talking a little comedy, a little sports. We're going to read your texts as usual. Last night I would say the last two nights we've had just outstanding, really fun listener interaction. We've just had some great texts. We had some calls. Really fun stuff. I have to tell you, okay, so sometimes when you drive, Conrad, like you live here now.
Yeah.
But when you would drive from Manitowoc, did you have to have like something to sip in the car or eat like a bag of nuts or chips or something? Or are you like one of those kind of drivers?
It was actually from Appleton.
Okay.
But you know, I would always have something in that cup holder.
Yeah.
Didn't matter if whatever I could find before I left.
Are you sure it was Appleton?
That is where I lived.
I could swear you lived in Manitowoc. Or is that Mino? John Mino lived in Manitowoc. And I think Amanda lives there.
Yeah. No, she
okay.
does.
Okay. So you were in Appleton.
Yep.
You were out in the burbs.
I was.
But I'm the same way. I like to have something to sip. You know, maybe a little snack. I got like an hour drive. It's nice to have something to kill the time, make a few phone calls. So I have this place I stop at regularly on the way out of town. It's a gas station. And the woman in front of me tells the cashier, "It's great to have you back. It's good to see you." They were, you know, really heartfelt hello. And she got her stuff and went on her way. And I went up there and I said, "Oh, it's nice to be liked, huh?" Just trying to continue the good feelings, you know. And the cashier says, "Yep." She goes, "Some people won't even stop here if they don't see my car." And then she goes on to call one of the other cashiers the B word. She goes, some people, they don't see my car. They don't stop. She's a draw. As a cashier, she's a draw. That's a talent.
That is.
I didn't know what to do with that. I'm like, "Oh, wow, I don't know you. I didn't have to say anything. I was trying to make you feel good." And she just, oh my God, total negative energy. Oh, Bernice is working the register tonight. We got to go to Quick Trip. Something about when she works the register, it's just fun to go there. Not when I'm there. That was weird. I almost felt like I should defend the other person. I'm like, "Well, maybe you don't really know her." Like, how much do I want to get involved in this? A spat between cashiers? So I got my almonds and I left, Conrad.
You just go, "Yep."
Yeah. Yeah. I could see why. You are a ray of sunshine. Is that Doris's Dodge Dart over there? ooh, I got to go in and get me some snacks. It was so strange. And so it reminded me of the time there was an MC that used to brag that when he would go into Taco Bell, they would make him a special burrito because he was like a local celebrity. Oh, yeah, they see me coming. They know what I like. Okay. Kind of like Ray Liotta walking into the bar when Bobby Vinton's playing, walking through the kitchen. He gets a special Taco Bell burrito made to order. So that was a weird way. That kind of put me in a strange mood because I felt bad for the woman, but I was also like, sometimes you try to be nice and it just comes back to bite you. You end up in a long, drawn-out conversation you didn't want. Or you get something like that where she's completely taking down one of her coworkers and trying to tell you that people shop at the gas station because she works there. Strange. How would you have handled that situation, Conrad?
I wouldn't have said anything when I heard that. I would have went up there and just, is this all today? Yep.
You would have just kept your big mouth shut, which is what I should have done.
After that, if I did say anything after that conversation, I would just do the head tilt and,
look at your phone. Oh, am I getting a call? Sorry. Have a good day. I have a lot to learn from you, my friend. All right. So that was my day. That was getting down here. But a lot of fun things to talk about tonight because... let's do this first. Where is my, I lost it. Okay. Let's do this first though. Cause I've been watching this show. I want to say, Eric Price was on last week and he talked about, he went to the premiere of a show on Apple TV called Dark Matter. And by the time I got to it, there were three or four episodes that were available. And I watched all three of them last night. Or four. I don't even remember how I stayed up way past my bedtime watching this show. It's kind of addicting. It's about a guy who goes through a wormhole and ends up a different version of himself trying to get back to his real self to save his family. And it's Joel Edgerton, Jennifer Connelly, and it was good. So I have to be careful, though, because I did recommend Shogun on this show maybe 2 months ago. And it started strong and I liked it. And then I had to totally take it back. I did not, it wasn't like it was a bad show, but I didn't think it ended well. I thought the end of first season was very anticlimactic. I was like, you know, I already recommended this. I expected more the way it started. So mea culpa, I thought Shogun was just okay. But Dark Matter, again, I'm three or four episodes in, really digging it. I will keep you posted.
Where can you find that one?
That's on Apple TV.
Okay, I saw that one when I was strolling, and I was like, that looks really good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to download it for my flight.
Oh, that's right. We're going to lose Conrad, folks. We should probably, let's build this up a little bit.
Yeah.
He is going to Italy.
Yes.
His last show will be tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a host of incredibly capable producers filling in.
Yep.
It'll be different. It's not our con, but very, very able-bodied producers filling in, which is great. We've got a great team here at Civic Media, but you, what kind of flight is that? What are you looking at for a flight?
9 hours.
Whoa. From Green Bay?
So I drive down to Chicago with my family.
Okay.
And it's nonstop, so it's direct to Rome, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're going straight through. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You fly in coach?
You know, I don't even know. I just...
You didn't buy the ticket?
No.
Oh, that's the way to see Italy on someone else's dime. Sure, folks, I'll go with you. Who's paying? Well, that's pretty cool. That's a little more of a trip than most people take on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
You'll be gone.
It's a two-week cruise.
Yeah. It's a cruise?
Yeah.
So you're flying to Rome, then you get on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then go... around Italy. So it'll be really fun.
What's the occasion?
Well, what ended up, it was supposed to be a wedding, but didn't happen. So our family already bought the tickets and everything like that. So we just made it into a cruise.
You actually might have more fun because you have less on your agenda.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's
my
awesome.
Sister-in-law is itinerary based. So we're going to do a lot of, you know, excursions and stuff like that. So it should be really fun.
Sounds fun. Oh, we'll miss you, buddy.
I'll be back in June.
In June. Not, wow, you're going to be gone. You're going to be gone so long, it's going to be a new month.
June 4th, I will be back.
And we're barely in mid-May. Yep. So that's like 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's 2 weeks. I leave this Saturday, and I'll be back, the second.
Okay.
So.
And you can't be to work here that night for some reason?
Well, I will need to adjust from the time difference.
Oh, man. Come on. Folks, do not panic. Memos will be taken.
Yes.
Powders will be taken. Conrad will be back, and he will be refreshed and raring to go.
Yes.
Not you know, that you need it. This is not a stressful job for you, is it? Working with me? I mean, I know.
Well,
it can be
yeah, of... I mean, it wouldn't be, but, you know. Well, I hope that when I get back, there's just a list of memos that I missed.
Listen, buddy, we're not gonna steer you wrong there. We're going to give you lots to do to get your feet wet. Because that's the best way to get back into it. You don't want to, like, go in and go, well, I'm still on vacation up here, so... No, you got to just throw yourself into it. That's the best way to do it.
I think I'll be ready to get back to work.
I think you will.
Yeah.
For sure. This is International City Day. So the question tonight is, if money were no object, what city would you visit? Money is no object. You can go anywhere to any of the world's great cities. Where would you go? Conrad's going to Rome on someone else's dime. So this question is actually in honor of you tonight, Conrad.
Wasn't planned, but I like it.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can send Conrad a message, too. Wish him a safe trip. Tell him you'll miss him. He'll be here tomorrow night, but Friday night he's off, starting Friday night. So we'll have to figure out how to do this, and I think we'll be okay. But he will be missed. We got a lot to talk about. There's a new Adam Sandler. What's the movie?
Happy Gilmore 2.
Right? Yeah. This is the day McDonald's was opened. The first McDonald's in 1959, maybe, in San Bernardino, California.
Have you ever seen The Founder?
The movie? No, with Michael Keaton?
It's really good.
I have not seen that. I know. I heard it's great. We'll talk about that. We'll read your texts, and we'll talk about the new Adam Sandler movie. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. So, our question is, if money were no object, in honor of International Cities Day, what city would you visit? That's the question. Stacy Sue on the stream says, is this Rosendale? I think she was referring to the cashier story I told.
Yeah.
Where the cashier considers herself a draw. It was not Rosendale, Stacy. It was the Marinette area. I will not give the company name or the person. I will just say it was a little sad, a little unsettling, and I'll leave it at that. Casey James says, resume speed, Iowa. What does that mean, Casey? What is that, Conrad? Am I missing something?
Is that a city?
Could be.
I'm gonna look it up.
They might be worse. Yeah, look it up. They might be worse than Rosendale with the tickets they write out there. From the 608, Robert says, maybe that store is all she has. Let her believe it. You know, of course I did, Robert. I'm not going to, like, say, hey, that's really weird that you think people are shopping here or getting gas here because you're the cashier. And you know what? Frankly, a few people probably do get their gas there. If they know that Blanche is working and, you know, they haven't seen her since Bridge, they're going to go in there and maybe say hello. I'm not saying she, like, doesn't. But, you know, she kind of had the attitude like she should get part of the gate. That's where it got kind of a little bit sad. But, yeah, good point. From the 740, in the right mood, I just start agreeing and talking about the other B word. Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm a lover. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I like to build people up. 740. So I did not do that. And I probably wouldn't do that. But if I had like a camera crew with me and it was like a candid camera show, that would be funny to do, to see how far I could get her to go. You know, but no, not just me and her. That's like, I feel like that would be bad karma. 608, Robert from McFarland says, if money were no object, I'd visit Bern, Switzerland. That's the city my family is from. They settled in Monroe, and I'd really like to see where my people are from. Switzerland is the most expensive European country to visit. I did not know that. So this is the perfect question. Wow, that is. That's great. And that's a great answer. You going to pop over to Switzerland, K-Man, when you're over there?
Yeah, I'm just take.
It's not too far, right?
You can Uber it? Just a little excursion.
Mom, I'm going to grab an Uber.
That would be like a really expensive Uber. I don't imagine how much that would cost.
Let's Google it. I think we have a caller. Is it Cindy from Appleton? Let's put Cindy through. Cindy, how are you?
Hello. Good. I think I'd probably go to Dublin, Ireland.
Are you Irish?
But I want to... I am Irish, Scottish, German, Polish, you know, the Heinz 57, sure. But everybody likes to take one ethnicity on more so than the other, so I'm going to stick with the Irish.
There you go.
But anyway, I just want to talk a little bit. I am going to Milwaukee Film Festival. I'm looking forward to that Saturday night. I can't remember the name of the movie. I think it's Wildcat that Ethan Hawke has directed and is starring in. But anyway, I'm going to the 7:30 show. He's supposed to be there. Panel afterwards, so I'm looking forward to that.
So wait, I thought the Milwaukee Film Festival was over. Is this a special event?
I got tickets for the 18th of May, so.
Wow. Yeah, that's getting good reviews. Well, that's really, hey, will you call us next week and tell us what you thought of that, Cindy? I would love to get like a very brief review if you're up for it. That would be fun.
Yeah, I hope I didn't miss it last month. I hope it's this month.
No,
so.
they do things differently. They have a longer festival, but then they also have events sponsored by the film festival. So I'm sure your tickets are good and all that. I just didn't know if it was technically the Milwaukee Film Festival. Okay. But they're a great organization there. That's so cool. Well, I hope you enjoy the film, and you can hitch a ride with Conrad. They can drop you in Dublin on his way to Rome. How does that
there
sound?
We go.
Cindy, thanks so much. Have a great night.
I might have to go by parachute, though, right? Because he's on a nonstop.
You can do it. You'll be fine. Those things fly themselves.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks.
You too. Thanks, Cindy. I've heard that. I've heard good things about that movie. Speaking of movies, Conrad is in a lather because Happy Gilmore 2?
Yeah.
I thought they already did 2.
No. Happy Gilmore had no sequels or anything. It was just Happy Gilmore, and I was really hoping it would stay like that.
Wow. Okay. Why? Just to preserve the the authenticity?
I just don't think sequels are... They need to have a sequel for that movie because it was just so funny. You can watch that movie any time of the day, and it's still great, you know?
Yeah.
And I just don't know how I feel about a Happy Gilmore 2 yet.
Well, I'm sure that's not going to keep you from the theater.
Well, I think it might just be going on Netflix because Netflix ordered it.
Okay. They might still do it theater. Yeah, you're probably right, though. They'll probably just...
Yeah.
Do you know how much Netflix has? I read today that they have like 270 million subscribers worldwide.
Wow.
And it's, $25 a month now? I mean, do the math. That is insanity.
Is it $25 a month now?
It's $25 a month. Wow. I wish I didn't even have it. Like, it... Honestly, if I didn't do this show, I probably would cancel Netflix because I feel like I can always see stuff on demand. But yeah. $25 a month, like,
it's crazy.
And they're not even the best streaming service.
No, not even close.
I got to do the math. I'm going to do the math.
I think I really like Max. I think they get the best movies. I like Prime as well. Prime has some good stuff. And Bad Boys just came out too, didn't it? On Netflix, right?
Yeah. So that's another good reason
to cancel it.
So I think I've got this right. I think I did the math wrong. Hold on. 25 times 270. Oh, 270 million. That's what I was doing. 270,000. That's like a billion. I'm just not smart. I can't even comprehend that number. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 zeros. 675 million or 6.7 billion. It's a lot of money. So for them to spend $40 million, you know, they got a docket they have to fill out.
So that's Netflix insane. Has ads now. So
I know.
It's $7 with ads.
That's it?
$16 without ads. And then full HD, 4K, whatever is $22.
Maybe that's what I need to do. I don't know that I need the 4K to watch Tiger King. You know what I mean? Like, I think I could probably downsize.
I don't think you need to see that in 4K.
Right. And a lot of their shows, frankly. That's interesting. I saw this too. 12% of Americans are responsible for eating half of the beef consumed in the U.S. on a given day. Let me repeat that because I'm really not good at math. 12% of Americans, 12 in 100, are responsible for eating half the beef consumed in the U.S. on a given day. That's so much meat.
That is.
And I like meat, but good Lord. I don't know what to do with that statistic. I'm going to mullet. I'm going to mullet over the break. Steve from Florida checking in. Steve, if money is no object, I would spend a couple of months in Dublin, Ireland, visiting all the pubs and becoming friends with the locals. I heard the locals are extremely nice to the tourists. Your dad would end up in the Irish Republican Army. He could go with Cindy. Steve, I'll go with you. That sounds like a blast. I'm primarily Irish, so I would love to see Ireland. One of these days I will. All right, Rob Parravanian is coming up next. We're going to play some of his comedy. We're going to talk to him about his act and where he's been and the cool things he does. And Mike Clemens in hour number two. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Very exciting. Our question tonight, folks, is in honor of International Cities Day, what city would you visit if money were no object? So far, we've heard Dublin. Conrad's going to Rome. Rosendale, Wisconsin. That's a big one. Who doesn't want to go there and get a speeding ticket? Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer. And join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. Check it out. A great place, great ambience, and some really good beer. And excellent craft sodas for those of you who aren't drinking. Okay, so I'm very excited. Like I said, we have really fun guests tonight. Mike Clemens will be along in hour number two. We'll talk some sports and catch up with Mike. It's been a few weeks. And right now, I'm about to bring a very funny guy on. I've known Rob. I met him back in the 90s when we were both doing stand-up in Chicago. He went on to bigger and better things, moved to New York, and he's just a really funny. He's a great stand-up. He's a great guitar player. He puts the two of them together, and he's just an excellent performer. And in honor of, since we were talking about Friends last night, and Heather bailed on our Friends quiz, Conrad, which I'm still kind of chapped about, but we've been talking about Friends for various reasons, and I found this. I was combing through Rob's stuff on YouTube, and I found this Friends bit he did. It's from several years ago, but it cracked me up. Let's hear that before we bring Rob on. So no one told you that
was gonna be this way. It's like, Rob, we hear that song 17 times a day. Please don't play it. It's a good song. Actually, I want to write a theme song for a sitcom because that's where the money is. But those people weren't even satisfied with just having a theme song to a popular sitcom. They wanted it to be a hit on the radio, and it's only a 30-second song. So they had to stretch it out to 3 minutes, and when they did, they slapped on more verses and more choruses, and they weren't paying attention. And I can prove it. The second verse of that song has nothing to do with the rest of the song. The second verse goes like this. You're still in bed at 10 and work began at 8. You burned your breakfast so far, things are going great. First of all, I don't know anyone who burns their breakfast because I don't know anyone who cooks their breakfast when they're 2 hours late for work. It's like, I'm late. Where's the skillet? But I would let that slide if it weren't for the next line. It's the next line that really bugs me because it goes like this. Your mama told you there'd be days like these. Your mama told you there'd be days like these, but the first line of the song is, so no one told you that was gonna be this way. They forgot what they wrote. 30 seconds into their own damn song. The world is going to hell. We're all clapping along.
It's my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight comedian Rob Perivonian. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, buddy. It's good to see you on the stream. If you're watching on the stream, check it out. Rob and I can see each other, and Rob's handsome face is on. Hey, you know, so I found that clip, Rob, and I know it's kind of an old clip, but I love how that was at Zany's in Chicago. It starts off, you got kind of a crowd that's not really focused, and you start singing and doing this bit. And all of a sudden, within a minute and a half, they're with you. And I just think that's the sign of a great comic. So good for you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's a fun bit. And it is older. And I don't do it as often anymore. But I went to, right before the pandemic, I did some shows in Europe, in like Geneva and in Paris and stuff. And English language shows for like expats and stuff. And that bit, that was my opener there too, because so many Europeans learned English or practiced their English by watching Friends reruns that it was more current over there. So it worked really well over there too, to like sort of bring an international crowd together. It was fun to hear that version of it too. Like, cause yeah, that was from, that's gotta be like that, you know, it's early YouTube days, maybe 2006 or something.
Yeah.
And the bit was from before that too. So it's, I'm glad you found that one. That's fun.
I don't know how I leave no stone unturned, Rob, when I have a guest on the show.
You've got a crack research squad.
Yeah. And his name is Peach Waba. no, but what's great is like Conrad loves Friends. He's 24 and it's people just find it. It's one of those shows like The Office or Seinfeld that people find. So It by way of default, your bits become current too. You could probably do that song for the next 30 years if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, I'm really, it's really amazing how Friends has sort of lasted, you know, the test of time. Because some sitcoms do, like you watch an old Cheers episode, it's still hilarious.
Yeah.
And then some sitcoms don't. I watch old Family Ties episodes. I thought that was the funniest show in the world in the 80s when I was, you know, a tween. But man, I what was I laughing at? But like Cheers is
really?
Still hilarious.
So I used to love Family Ties too. I love the dynamic with Alex Keaton. He's the young conservative and his parents are ultra liberal.
Yeah, the hippie
I thought
parents.
That was really funny and played out well, but I haven't seen an episode of it in about 30 years, but it doesn't hold up, huh?
Well, it feels cornier than I remember it. And maybe that's just me being older and not, you know, not the times changing, but yeah, I watched a few on one of those like side channels that you get with the over-the-air antenna, you know, there's all those right. side channels that just play like Banachek reruns all night long and stuff. So, and so I was watching it. And I was like, oh, I remember this episode. This is hilarious. And I was like, oh my gosh, But
oh,
you know, it's
funny. Now, conversely, I have to admit when Friends came out, I did not take to it. I thought I liked the Seinfeld, how kind of salty they all were. And like Friends was so cuddly and Ross and Monica are like adults and they're sitting there cuddling on the, it's like, I wanted to vomit the first few times I watched that show and I still have issues with it, but I get past it because the writing is so good, you know?
Yeah, it became such a big phenomenon while it was on. It was almost like you had to kind of look askance at it because anything that popular, especially if you're a cool comedian or a cool punk rocker or something, like anything that big has to have something wrong with it, you know?
Yeah,
but
right.
it really, you know, it was a solid show. And I, you know, I was right around that age at that time. I even remember, do you remember Wild Bill, what was his
Bauer?
A comic from Minnesota.
Yeah.
One of my earliest gigs was with him, and it was so long ago that he flew to Chicago and we drove to Toledo for a gig because he was headlining. I was middling. I was just start to middle. And he was talking about spec scripts. He was in the car and he was an older comic. He was trying to give me advice and stuff. He's like, yeah, you just need to write a spec script for a sitcom. Like, you know, like that new one that just came out with the young kids, Friends. You should check that out. Maybe. And so that's how long ago. It's like, when I think about how old that show is, I'm like, oh man, I remember when it was new because someone told me to, it's a show for young people like you.
You just reminded me of two things I think are funny. I hope you don't mind if I go off on a tangent. I promise we'll talk about you in just a minute, but, Wild Bill Bauer, I've never met him, never worked with him, but I remember my buddy Pete Lipsey telling me that he had this joke about a funeral director who messed up. And he said, no, I wanted the blue suit on my husband, not the black suit. And the funeral director yells out, Ed, switch the heads on 2 and 5.
I remember that. Yeah, that's hilarious. I worked with him at the Connections 2 in Toledo, the mid-90s.
That's crazy. Here's the other thing that you made me think of when a comic would call and say, or their agent would call and say, hey, so-and-so's flying into Chicago. Can you give him a ride like to so-and-so? I got roped into doing that. It was like an 11-hour drive. I had to pick somebody up in Minneapolis and drive them to Devil's Lake, Minot, North Dakota.
Oh, my.
Within 10 minutes of the drive, he's in tears. He had just found out his girlfriend left him because she cheated on him with 2 guys at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
10 minutes in the car, I don't even know the guy. I'm like, this is going to be the longest 11 hours. Awful.
Oh, man.
I have good memories, too, of that kind of stuff. But that was one of the more awkward ones. But
yeah.
Anyway. So you were a Chicago guy for years. When I met you, we were in Chicago together doing stand-up. And then you moved to New York. Stayed there permanently. I think I went to L.A., you went to New York, and you've been there ever since. That's obviously worked out well for you. But is it different being there? You obviously like it. But how are the audiences different between the East Coast and the Midwest, if at all?
It's definitely different. And I approach things differently after all these years too. Yeah. I originally moved here in the mid, like in 96, I think it was back when the Improv and, the Funny Firm both closed in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I was like, I'll give it a year or two, see if I like it. If not, I'll go out to LA with everybody else. But yeah, I like the city vibe. I like getting around the city on the subway more than driving around in traffic, you know.
Yeah.
Shows wise, what I really liked the most about New York when I got here was that there were so many comedy clubs and there were so many different comedy scenes. You had a lot of choices to find where you fit, you know, like you weren't stuck with just one scene or one group of comics. And I found my way to the Lower East Side, which at the time there were a lot of really wild performance art type shows. It was almost like a alternative vaudeville kind of vibe. And because I do so much music, it really worked well for me because sometimes, you know, I would walk into a comedy club with my guitar, and especially some of the, you know, more traditional comedy clubs in New York, they look at you sideways when you come in with the guitar, like, guitar act, we don't get out of here, you're a hack. So before they even saw you, you know, so
right.
Like the Lower East Side where like, they would do performance art and sketch and characters and stuff. I really liked that scene, you know, in the 90s, the alternative comedy thing was getting to be a big thing. So that was my first sort of sign that this was the right place for me. And then over the years, it just became home. I like it here.
Wow. Good for you. Where do you live in New York?
I'm in Brooklyn. I'm in a nice medium class neighborhood in Brooklyn. I've been in my apartment a long time, which is one of the few reasons I can still afford this neighborhood. Cause like every other city, you know, it's getting expensive, but, I like it. And I figured if I lasted through the pandemic, and still wanted to be here, I'll be here for a little while longer is my plan anyway.
Good for you. Did you grow up in Chicago, Rob?
Yeah, I grew up in Waukegan, Illinois. Shout out to Waukegan. I looked on the map and we get a little bit of coverage from, I think there's a Racine/Kenosha station in your network.
Yes.
I even threw on my Milwaukee School of Engineering t-shirt.
Oh, love it.
In honor of the Wisconsin.
Because
back when I was doing colleges, I did so many campuses. I used to do a lot of colleges. So I did so many campuses in Wisconsin. But so I grew up in Waukegan, Illinois, which is about 10 miles south of Kenosha. So we're really close to the Wisconsin border. So back when I had a band, we would play Chicago and Milwaukee pretty equally.
You said that it was interesting what you said about being a guitar act and how you got some blowback occasionally from other comics. I didn't notice that in Chicago in terms of, was that a New York thing or did you get the same vibe in Chicago sometimes?
I would get it a little bit in Chicago, not too bad, and not even too bad in New York, except at certain clubs. Certain clubs were just snobbier about what stand-up was supposed to be.
Okay.
But in fact, even in like one of the Milwaukee clubs, the booker there kind of like even told me years ago, I got in touch with them and they're like, yeah, we generally don't book, you know, comedy acts. And I think I was looking to route something in with some other shows. And I'm like, well, I can do like 15 to 20 without the guitar, but I'm much better with it. You know, that's my whole thing. And then back in the day, Letterman, when he had the night, you know, when he had his show, they wouldn't even look at guitar acts.
Oh, like really?
They just wanted stand up because that was just their taste, you know? So
it
wasn't like rampant, and the crowds never, you know, were too bad about it. They liked it. And in New York, where there'd be shows with like 10 or 12 comics, some of the bookers started to enjoy having a music act kind of in the middle just to break up. You got 12 people going up and just talking. It's nice to have a little bit of variety in the middle. But there was definitely some. And then, you know, when people were, you know, stand-up comics are trying to get agents for commercials and stuff, like that side of it was a little tougher too, because like the agents and managers were at the time looking for, we need a character to sell a sitcom for. So they were looking for actors, and they thought because I played guitar, I couldn't do that.
Oh, so, interesting.
Okay. At least some of them did not, it helps me out a lot on the college market. Like it helped set me apart. So I think it helped as much as it hindered.
Okay. That's a great answer. I think like anything, it's like, if you're funny, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, usually. Yeah. Even if I did get attitude from people, sometimes they would see me go up and they were like, oh, you're doing original songs, or you're doing like actual material about music. So like, yeah, it didn't last too long if they actually took the time to watch my act. You know?
Right. My guest is Rob Perovonian, very funny guy. And he's great with the guitar too. We will have more with him. Maybe hear a little more of his stand-up when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. TV dinners and we're talking to Rob Perovonian, very funny guy. He's my guest right now. Coming up at 8:35, we'll talk to Mike Clemens about all things sports here in Wisconsin. As we mentioned before, Mike Clemens Sports, it's a hyphenated last name. That's what he does. Clemens hyphen sports. And if he had to choose, he'd probably go with sports. That's how good Mike is at reporting sports. Here's a little more of Rob Perovonian's comedy. I love this bit.
Well, if you want to enjoy pop music, you can't listen to the lyrics. If you listen to the lyrics of a pop song, it'll ruin that song forever. Case in point, there's this song by Sugar Ray. I listened to the lyrics once and I couldn't like the song anymore because the lyrics go thusly. Cheat on his girlfriend, he writes a song about it, and right after that he says, couldn't understand how to work it out. I got some ideas. How about not cheating on your girlfriend? Once again, as predicted, left my broken heart open and you ripped it out. Does anyone buy that? She somehow ripped out Cheater Man's broken heart? And then at the end of the song, it just gets plain scary because the dude actually says, she said we couldn't do it, you know I want to do it again. And someone in the background says, shut the door, baby, don't say a word. He's a liar. He's a cheater. His girlfriend doesn't want to do it, understandable at this point. And then his friend comes over and says, shut the... What?
Rob Perovonian is my guest. How often do you have to, is it harder to write jokes, Rob, or songs? And how often do you churn out a new tune?
Both very good questions. I think songs can be harder to write, especially the way I'm doing them, because I'm putting jokes into the song. So it's almost like writing two things, and then I have to make my jokes rhyme half the time.
Right. But
I've gone through periods where like each have come easily, and you know, sometimes you, like I can't write a song for 2 months, and then I'll have a week where I'll write one or two or three, and some of them are actually usable. So, but yeah, I think I concentrate more on the songs, and the jokes are fun to break up, like when I do a long set, you know, to break up the set and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think songs for me, just cause yeah, just, I put more work into them.
Did you have different, like most of the comics I have on the show say, when I ask who their influences were, it's like Pryor, Carlin, you know, do you have influence? Like Tim Cavanaugh is a great comedian who also uses a guitar. I remember a guy named David Little that used to make me laugh. Do you have influences or people that you thought of that you said, oh, I can do that, you know?
Well, when I was a kid, I loved Steve Martin, and he played banjo, yeah. And he was just so silly and fun. And then I always liked the Smothers Brothers when they were on TV, even though they were a little bit before my time, but still I would see their stuff and just, yeah, it would make me laugh. And then of course, like a lot of people my age, like in junior high, I would listen to the Dr. Demento show. So Weird yeah. Al and those, you know, all the songs on that show were really influential, and just to show me that it was something that people did, like people write songs that are funny and they're still good songs, you know, or parodies of songs, you know? So I would say, yeah, Dr. Demento, Steve Martin, Weird Al in the early days. And, I liked the variety shows when I was a kid. I liked Sonny and Cher. I liked, you know, Carol Burnett and stuff. So I always seemed to like the shows that had a mix of, you know, mix of comedy and a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. I like to ask this question sometimes when I have comics on, because I don't really have any regrets in my life, but I do wish I sort of, after I got lucky and sold some writing stuff, I kind of just stopped doing stand-up. And I regret that. I wish it wasn't really a conscious choice. It was just like, I don't want to go work the road anymore. I just want to stay in LA yeah. and hang out. Do you have anything in your career where you kind of wish you had done differently, or any regrets you have along the way?
Well, I think, yeah, I've made mistakes as far as, or just had the wrong attitude about things in the past. And sometimes I remember the first time someone asked me for a writing sample, I didn't know what it meant really. And I had gone to college. I got a creative writing degree. So I wrote short stories. So it was way early in Chicago, right when I was starting out, and someone says, yeah, do you write? Do you have any writing you could show me? And I sent him my short stories, which looking back, I'm like, well, that was stupid. Cause you know, they wanted either monologue jokes for late night or sketches or, you know, something sellable, not in the literary world, you know?
Right.
I wish I took classes at Second City back in Chicago. The one thing I think about is, as now looking back on it, I was way too uptight or worried about trying to get hired as like in Second City or trying to make it in that particular thing, or using acceptance in that world as my bar of whether or not I was doing anything worthy, you know? So I think I would have just told myself to like, just chill out, do your thing. Like no one institution there's no one gatekeeper for what you're, you know,
all,
so I
be
think,
all. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I took some of the enjoyment and I just wasn't as good as I could have been because I wanted it so bad. I just was so like, you know what I mean? Does that make
totally
sense? I wanted it so
sense.
Bad that I like was so tense about any time I would try to do a sketch or improv. And that's, I think, why I like stand up better. I felt like I had more control over,
you know,
what I was doing.
That's a great answer. And I remember the show America's Funniest People.
Yes.
They went through a
phase. Actually, I was on it once.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah, I did a short song and I actually won some money on that.
Oh,
show.
Nice. See,
yeah, like
if I had known, that's why I did it. That's why I wanted the money, because we're all young, starving comics. I remember going to an audition and I used to do a character called the Alaskan Weatherman, where everything is cold, the 5-day outlook is cold, all that kind of stuff, whatever. But this guy hands me a hat, a goofy hat. And I'm so worried about how I'm going to come across on TV. I'm like, not wearing this silly hat and doing the weather. That's not real. That's not a weatherman. He doesn't wear a hat. So the guy says, I'll tell you what, do it once with the hat and once without the hat. Tim Wacko was there. And he goes, they're not even rolling the camera on this one. Like, they know what they want. But I was right. All like, no, you can't compromise. And why? Like, looking yeah. back, I should have made money. And just done it the way they wanted, right? It's forgettable. No one's ever going to see it again. But anyway, that was a great answer.
Yeah, I had one other one, if you have a second.
But can you hold that thought for a second? Because I want to play your grandpa song, too, before we let you get out of here. So if you can hang for a few minutes, we'll do that. My guest is Rob Perivone, a very funny comedian. He's hanging out with me here on Nightlight, and it's great to have you along as well. We'll read some of your texts, too, when we get back. It's World International Cities Day, folks. That's the question. Where would you go if money was no object? What city? We'll read more of your texts later, too. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.